gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
This morning, I appreciate so much that humble, heartfelt prayer that was spoken. I believe it comes from the Lord, and give Him the praise, the glory, and the honor for that. But it sure does my heart good to see brethren that are broken before the Lord and recognize we need Him. If we're able to do anything whatsoever that's pleasing in His name and honoring in His sight. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And I pray that that'll be the case this morning with the words that come out of my mouth and the thoughts that are in my heart and the thoughts that are in yours. And we know that if that's going to be the case, it has to come from God and it goes back to the glory of Almighty God. It's all about Him.
Amen.
Psalm 122, and that's not my text, but it says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I hope that's how you felt this morning as we came this way and come to gather in the house of God. I hope that there's joy in your heart about that and anticipation in your heart. I was reading last night, thought that was going to be my text and where I was going to go, and about 2 o'clock. About 2 o'clock, that all just went away. I was up at 2. I would have liked to have been asleep. That was the case. But was studying, trying to find something that the Lord just really impressed on my heart and on my mind. And I thought I had that. I thought it was going to be what I was going to talk about. And then all of that seemed to just dissipate, just went away. And felt this coldness, this darkness, this battle, spiritual battle, if you will, where I just went to the foot of the bed. I haven't been getting down on my knees since I had my knee surgery, because they say you're not supposed to do that too much, but I got good carpet, so I said, I got to get down. I just begged the Lord, help me. Let me rest. Let me trust. Let me lean on thee. Let me not trust in Egypt or the things of this world or my efforts or my calculations or my thoughts. But let me just turn it over to thee. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. I desired to do that. And I don't know that the Lord gave me a text, but He gave me something. And at that point, when He gives you something,
amen,
you're glad to get it.
Amen.
You're glad to get it. What I'd been thinking about is, and I'd like you to read that at some point, John chapter 5, that's not my text. Yeah, I don't know that I have a text. Clerk, hang in there. John chapter 5 tells us about the Pool of Bethesda. That was a wonderful place. It was a wonderful place, though the world looking on it wouldn't think it was a wonderful place. The Pool of Bethesda was a place where the sick gathered, impotent folk, the sick folks gathered. That was at Jerusalem. It was right by the sheep market or the sheep gate. When you enter into the city of Jerusalem, you go into the temple area. That was the gate right there. It's where they brought in the sheep that were offered for sacrifice. And that's why it's called the sheep market or the sheep gate. Who do you think that might picture? The sheep, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. There were all kinds of sick people gathered there. This was under the old law covenant. It's kind of a strange account, but a blessed account. And there were they were there gathered, and there were five porches there and a pool of water and five porches. And when it says porches, you know, I think about porches like on our houses, and that's kind of like that, but it's not. It was a long line of columns with a roof over it that reached out off of a building. And those five porches were all around this pool. And in those porches laid all manner of sick folks. There were blind folks. There were halt folks, which meant they were lame. There were those that were withered, which means they had all kinds of ailments that had gathered there in those five porches. The word Bethesda, if you look it up in the Bible, says this was given in the language there. Maybe we just should turn to John 5. I didn't think that was going to be where I was at, but that's it. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. That's why Jesus was going there. But that wasn't the only reason Jesus was going. The feast of the Jews were three times a year. All of the males were called to go to Jerusalem because of the feast that would take place, the feast of Pentecost, the feast of Tabernacles, and the Passover, or the feast of the unleavened bread. And Jesus was on the way there. And he says, and now there is, verse 2 of John chapter 5, it says, now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue. And that's what I wanted to get. It's given us in the Hebrew tongue, Bethesda, which tells me I need to know what that means and what that really means. It's the house of mercy, the house of loving kindness, the house of grace, the house of God's goodness. It was a wonderful place to be. Now, God's children were there, I believe, gathered there because they were sick. And the strange thing is, in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of these five, with having five porches, and these lay a great multitude of impotent folk. They were blind, halt, withered, and they're waiting for the moving of the water. In other words, they've come. They were glad to be there. You know why? Because there was a promise that God had made somewhere along the line that there was going to be a moving of the water. And I want you to picture this. The waters would be agitated, stirred up, bubbled up somehow. There would be an evidence. And the reason that happened isn't because it was some natural occurrence. It wasn't a hot springs. It wasn't just mineral water. But the Lord sent an angel to stir the water. Now, somebody has, and I read after a lot of commentaries on this, that have said this was probably a legend at the time. This was probably a story at the time. It probably really didn't happen. But it was what the people thought, and therefore Jesus used this at that time. I want you to know the Bible doesn't say it was a legend myth or a story. The Bible says in the next verse, the moving of the water, it says, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and trouble the water. That's what the Bible says.
That's right.
Now the Bible says an angel did that. Now where do angels come from? Well, they're ministering servants that behold the very presence of God. Gabriel came to Zechariah and he said, I stand in the presence of God. That means God had sent him. And the angel came at the direction of the Lord. So you get this picture. From time to time, what would happen is the Lord would send the angel down and the water would be stirred and all the sick folk would be there and I could see them. Can you not see them looking? at the water waiting for their healing, because, and there are all manners of them. Listen, if this was just a natural occurrence, what natural property would the natural spring water have for the blind and for all the different diseases? Though there are natural things that can help you physically and naturally, listen, this was something wonderful, wasn't it? This was a supernatural. This was God driven and God given.
Right.
It was God's grace being shown even under the law. You know, Jesus came, he was under the law. He was made of a woman, but he was made under the law. You know why? In order to keep the law and to fulfill the law. He didn't abolish the law, but he came and fulfilled the law. And he was here because he was keeping his Father's will and keeping the law perfectly. He didn't miss any of those times. He wasn't absent.
Right.
In other words, he presented his body. He did what he taught. The lawgiver, the one who gave us the law, was keeping the law because he had become a man. And why did he become a man? So that he might come and redeem us, and that we might be made of the adopted sons of God and heirs of God and joint heirs with our Lord Jesus Christ through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad he did all that for us? Now listen, you and I stand here today. What do I see when I look over the congregation? I don't want to insult you. I don't want to make you mad, but if it does, I guess it does. I see a bunch of impotent folk.
Right.
I see the sick,
right. The
halt, and the maimed, and the blind. And if we ever start thinking we're not that, and we look at that Laodicean church who thought they were not that, they said, no, we're rich, we're increased with goods, we don't need a thing. And he said, you've forgotten that you are poor and halt and maimed and blind.
Yeah.
And you're naked, and you need from me clothing, you need from me everything that you stand in need of. And here they were, they're waiting for the angel to come down at a certain season into the pool, and he troubled the water, and as he troubled the water, they couldn't wait to get in. They wanted to get in. Why? Because it says, whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Now, as that said, he tried to make it whole. He hoped to make it whole. He started to get a little bit better. No, it says he was made whole when he stepped into the water. And I don't know all about this, but what I do know about it, I'm surely thankful for. We've got a God who's able to take care of our needs. And in the Old Testament days, our God moved in divers ways and manners.
Yeah.
And this was one of them.
That's right.
And Jesus came right where they were in their great need. A certain man was there, had been there for 38 years. Sitting there troubled for 38 years. And when he would see the water stir, he would go to get in the water. And before he could get in it, someone got in before him because he didn't have anybody to help him get in. And when the Lord asked him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" he said that. I didn't have anybody to help me get in the water. Jesus was the man that was there to help him, not only help him get in the water. Listen, I say to you today, and I'll just say this in passing. I think I'm done with that. What Jesus did for them was a wonderful thing and a blessing. I don't know how many were healed, but I know there was only one that could get it. I'm certainly thankful today when the Lord moves among us that it's not just one that he comes to, but rather that he has that which is an abundance that he has supplied unto us in this day and age of all that we stand in need of. He supplies it. And in that day and time, an angel stirred the water. The power didn't come from the angel. It came from the Lord. The angel came from God. He's a minister of God to serve the heirs of God and the children of God. And he still has angels today encamping around and about them.
Amen.
That fear him. They're watching over us today.
Amen.
We're not to worship them.
No.
But we surely should be thankful to the God of heaven who sent them. And for you and me today, as we meet with our needs, I don't know what your needs are. I don't know what my needs are. I may know some of your needs. I may know some of the things, but I know this. We need him.
Right.
I need him to bless me and my family. I need him to bless me in my home. I need him to bless me in my life. I need him each and every day. I need to to see and understand that I need him in order to make it in this world. I need him if I'm going to be able to preach the gospel this morning, and you need him if you're going to be able to hear the gospel. And more importantly, that we not only take it here, but we hear it and we receive it, and then we go out and we wear it and we live it in our lives to the glory and the honor and the praise of God. You think they had a house of mercy, Bethesda? I say we have a house of mercy in the Lord's house. Are you glad to be here?
Yeah.
He says in Psalm 122, he says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He says, our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together, whether the tribes go up and the tribes of the Lord unto the testimony of Israel to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. That's talking about the Lord's chosen people.
That's right.
Gathering in at the house of God. Yep. All of them are Israel in the sense that they're born of there. The chosen people of God. The chosen Israel of God. The spiritual Israel of God. And we meet here today to gain from Him and gather from Him that which we stand in need of, as well as to offer our praise and our thanksgiving to Him for all that He has done for us.
That's right.
So now I'll read my text. One very familiar to you. Psalm 100, if you have it. Have your Bibles. Psalm 100, I'd like to read in your hearing. Do we have something to be happy about today? Do we have something to be glad about? I say to you, what the Lord has done for us is so overwhelming that when we recognize what He's done for us, we can't but do anything but this. We shouldn't do anything but this.
That's right.
And that is to make a joyful noise to His name. How good is the Lord to you? I see these young families here today. I ask you, how good has the Lord been to you?
Yeah.
I see these folks in middle age. Families kind of grown up and got away. How good has the Lord been to you? And I'll use a Bible term here. I see some of you in a good old age. That's a Bible term. Don't get confused. You say, well, I don't know whether he's talking about me or not. When he talked about David, I mentioned this last night. When he talked about David in the Bible about to die, he said he was at a good old age and he was 70. So I'll let you have that term. I'm at a good old age. So what age are you? I'm at a good old age. And I'll say 70 plus, okay? 70 plus. Do you have something to be thankful for? Has God been good to you? Have you been laying at a pool for 38 years? I've had some sickness, but I can't imagine what that would be like for 38 years, brother. I know you got some pain going on. I know it's tough. I know it's difficult. I don't know what 38 years of that would be. I sure doesn't. I'm telling you what, when the Lord came and He said, you take up your bed and walk, He reached down and did what would be impossible. And He took that bed and He walked. And Jesus knew when He told Him that those scribes and Pharisees who were sitting there looking at Him were just waiting for Him to do something wrong. And He said, oh, I got Him. I got Him now. He said, who made you get up and walk? Who told you to do that? Who told you to carry your bed? You're breaking the Sabbath. Were they concerned about His 38 years of pain? Were they concerned about whether he was doing right or wrong? No, I'm telling you. All they wanted to do was find fault. I was thinking about this 2:30 last night. You know, at a volleyball game, when somebody does something and breaks the rules, the opposing team, when the other team breaks the rules, what they'll do is they'll start chanting, "You can't do that." They'll do that at a basketball game too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what that reminds me of? The Pharisees. Because that's what they were always looking for. They weren't worrying about the law. You know why the Sabbath was given? It wasn't given to hinder man. It was given to help man.
Right.
It wasn't given as a rule that would restrict you from doing good things. It was given as a rule because we needed to know you can't work all the time and never rest and think you're going to make it physically in this world. Because the Lord worked six days and He wasn't tired, but He was teaching us. And on the seventh day He rested and He sanctified it and He set it apart. Not so it would be a rule that somebody could yell at you, you can't do that. But that it would be a help to you and a benefit to you. And Jesus had shown them in that action and by His own action. Listen, somebody said, I did a silly thing. I typed in online. I don't encourage you to do this. AI will answer any question you ask. But you get any kind of answer too. I asked the question, did Jesus break the law on the Sabbath at the pool of Bethesda? Did Jesus break the Sabbath? Now I knew the answer to that before I put it in. But did Jesus break the law of the Sabbath at the pool of Bethesda? And the answer came up, yes. They were wrong. And I don't know where they compiled all its information from. I don't know where it pulled it from. It doesn't matter. They were wrong. Jesus didn't break the law. You know how I know He didn't break the law? Because Jesus is our Savior. Right. And there's an empty tomb. And if He'd have broken the law in one place, at any place, right, His blood would not have washed away my sins. Amen. Or your sins. Amen. Or there would be no cleansing for any of them at the pool of Bethesda. There would be no cleansing throughout the Scripture. It was by His stripes that we were healed. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And if His offering had been in any way polluted, if there had been one spot or one blemish, God the Father, who cannot look upon sin, would not have accepted it.
That's right.
The reality was He kept the law. He was teaching us how to keep the law.
That's right.
You want to know how to keep the law? You watch Jesus.
Amen.
You want to know how to live right? You watch Jesus.
Uh-huh.
You ask the question, what would Jesus do? Not only what would Jesus do, because that question is sometimes what Jesus does, we can't do. But what would Jesus do? The better question is, what would Jesus have me to do? And what would Jesus have you to do? And guess what? He's written you a whole book to tell you.
Yep.
Not to bind up your life. Not so somebody can stand up and say, you can't do that. There are some things you can't do. There are some things that are wrong. There are some things that are clearly wrong. The Bible lays that out. I'm sure glad there's a house of mercy, aren't you? Aren't you glad there's a Bethesda? Aren't you glad there's a place you can come when you've sinned and come short of the glory of God? When you haven't been good to your spouse all week, or you said things that you shouldn't have said, or you've done things that you shouldn't have done, and you even in your best efforts to try to live right and talk right and behave right, you find what the Apostle Paul found. I find evil in everything that I do. Sin is mixed with all that I do. And I've come short of the glory of God. And I am lame. And I am blind, and I'm a leper, and I need cleansing, and I need a house of mercy. And I'm thankful that I don't have to sit by a pool and wait for the water to move, but I have a place to come anytime, any hour. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And you don't have to be the first one in. That would be something, wouldn't it? I wish all God's little children sat at a meeting like, I better get this. If I don't get it, the first, right, you'd be listening a lot better if you knew the only one who was going to get it would be the first one. Wouldn't it? I'd be saying, I'm going to listen because somebody's going to get that. Going to get that before I. Yeah. Do you need what's being preached in the pulpit?
Yeah.
Do you need the truth of God's word in your life? Do you need Him to walk with you and talk with you? Do you need Him to hold that little baby in a way that's pleasing to God and honoring to God and it'll be a benefit to that little baby? Do you, every little single thing you do, I need Him, don't
Amen.
You? I need Him.
Amen.
And I know some of you can testify to more of it than I can testify, but I'll tell you, in my years, I have been so thankful to feel the blessings and the mercy and the grace of God in my life. He hasn't let me down. He hasn't let you down either, has he, Brother James? And he's not going to. That's because we have a great and a wonderful God. That little baby got my lungs, girl. Don't worry about it. Bless her heart. That's what Ootsies do when they're hungry. They cry. I'm hungry this morning spiritually, aren't you? Don't be afraid to cry. I don't know what your needs are, but I know he knows them. When he came on the scene, he didn't have to ask that man how long you've been here. He knew how long he'd been there. That's the reason Jesus was there. He knew who he was. He knows who you are. And he came right where he was and he asked him a question, not because he didn't know the answer, but to call him out and to point out, I've got the power. I am the power. And when they asked him, who told you to carry your bed? You know what he said? The one that made me whole. Is there a reason to do what Jesus told you to do?
Amen.
Absolutely.
Yes.
He made me whole. You know what he told us to do? He said, make a joyful noise. He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Who are the lands? That is God's children, out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tongue. It means in all the earth. It doesn't mean everybody, because not everybody's going to praise the Lord. But he's talking about those whom he's quickened and made alive. Those who are born of the Spirit. Those he's given life to. Those he loved in covenant before the foundation of the world. Those he's effectually called. And he's given you life. And he's healed you. And he's given you hope and joy and peace and rest. And he's been good to you. He's watched over you in your sickness. He's watched over you when you've had problems. When you've needed him, you've called upon him. And he's blessed you time and time again. And he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's the one we look to today to honor and glorify. And my life is to be lived in honor and praise to him. That's the reason he's given me life. It's to the praise of his glory that I've been made. He said, you make a joyful noise. Notice he didn't just say make a noise. He makes a joyful noise. That means from my heart, be glad, be thankful. We're approaching Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving ought to be all year long, ought
it?
But I'm thankful it's once a year. It's a good time.
Right.
We can go. But if you're like me, sometimes I get so busy during Thanksgiving, I'm just thankful Thanksgiving's over. And it's like, we got to get through it, got to get to it, got to get over it. Oh, brethren, don't let me see that. Let me appreciate each day the Lord gives me at this good old age. let me appreciate his blessings upon me. Let me be thankful for every member, for every brother, for every sister, for every phone call, for every text. For every time we have a chance to communicate and stop on the deck and talk about the goodness of the Lord in the midst of our labors in this world, because he's been good to us. And this pool, I don't have to be by the pool in order to get that, because he's everywhere present and he's nowhere absent, and we can have communion and fellowship with him. I say to you, we have every reason to make a joyful noise. This is a psalm of praise, which means a psalm of thanksgiving. We're to thank the Lord for his goodness and his mercy to us. And then he says, serve the Lord with gladness. That means to live your life in a way to honor him. I'm going to take the time to read to you a portion of scripture found in the third chapter of the book of Colossians that I think lays out very clearly what it means by serving the Lord. He says in chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. This is detailed instructions. Colossians 3, 1. It's detailed instructions to God's little children how to live their life to serve the Lord. Psalm 50 says, the world is mine and the fullness thereof. And if I were hungry, I would not have asked thee. Which means the Lord doesn't need anything from me.
Right.
It means to serve the Lord doesn't mean he needs my money or he needs this or he needs that from me. He can't do it without me. He's dependent upon me. Doesn't mean any of those things. But it means God's little children living like the Lord would have them live in a way to honor and glorify him and to the benefit of God's little children. And as you help a little child of God, the Bible says, and as much as you've done it to the least of my brethren, you've done it also unto me. Jesus taught that. He says, if you then be risen with Christ, what are we to do? How do we serve the Lord? You seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. What that means is we center our minds on that. We center our thoughts on that. We think about things in the light of that. As we go through our daily activities and our daily lives, we remember the Lord is with me. We know ye that the Lord, He is God. Know that means to acknowledge it, to recognize that He's God. He's not just God on Sunday morning when I'm sitting in the pew or in the pulpit, but He's God in the afternoon and God the next day and throughout the week. He's God on your job. He's God in your family. He's God in your home. Let us remember that He's God. And let us be like those little ones waiting for the angel to come and stir the water. Let us be looking, just as if we miss it, we're going to miss it. Now you won't miss it because He's going to come. He comes where you are. He says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. How many of us can honestly look at ourselves and say, I've really set my affections on things above and my affection is not on the things of this earth? You know what happens to me when I start thinking I've got all that wrapped up, something will go wrong, and you know who will pout and act like a, you know, I can throw a 2-year-old's tantrum real quick. And I know what they look like, by the way. I know what those 2-year-old tantrums look like. When I see a little fella do that, I go like, you know, he's mine. He's running in our line. Sharon will look at me and say, that's oots, ain't it? I said, yeah, that's oots. But you know, it's not only oots. Some orders in that too, daughter. Some Sylvester in that. Some Cox in that. It's there. You know why? Because in Adam we all died.
That's right.
And we all are sitting around the pool. We all in need of a blessing. We all in need of that. I need this, don't you? I need this instruction. It's what I need. It's not just for someone else to get. It's not so I can yell, you can't do that.
Right.
It's not for me to be a Pharisee and judge. You know what that Pharisee was saying to the publican? You know, he looked down at he looked down on him and said, you know, I'm doing all this and I'm sure glad I'm not like him. No, but it was for my instruction, for what I need. Now, that doesn't mean we ought not try to live the best we can and do the best we can, like Brother Jimmy said in his prayer. It's not, God didn't set us free so we could just keep on sinning. As a matter of fact, he told that young man, he said, that was an old, he was an older man, but once he healed him, he said, you know, you go sin no more. So something worse might come upon you. Not only might, but would. Now that wasn't talking about being free of sin completely, but he's talking about living like this teaches. He says, oh, I got a lot of verses in this 12 o'clock. That's a good problem to have in some ways, but it's not a good problem, especially for y'all maybe. But anyway. He says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Why? For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. That means He's made us different. He's given us a life to live that's not the old life, the old man, but to walk in the new man. He says then, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. That's a promise. When the Lord comes, we're going to be with Him in heaven. Can I say that to you? If you love the Lord today, if you understand you're a sinner and you need Him, there isn't anything you can do to get to be His, because He chose you to be His before the very foundation of the world.
Amen.
But you should take up your cross and follow Him in baptism. And you live your life in service to Him in order to honor and glorify Him, not to become His, but because you are. And when you do that, you will find peace. He said, come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden, and ye shall find rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Let's see. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. One of those is a given rest about eternal things. The other is a found rest when you take up your cross and follow Him and live in a way that the Word of God teaches. You take upon yourself. Take upon Him yourself. Be yoked with Him. and live in a way to honor Him. That is to serve Him. He says, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. I'm going to start, let's look at verse 12, and I'm going to read this and then quickly get out of the way. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. Who? The elect of God. What? Holy and beloved. That's who you are. You're holy because He washed you in His blood. You're beloved because He loved you unconditionally before the foundation of the world. But you and I are to put this on. Bowels of mercies. That means love and kindness that comes from the heart. That's what we're to operate in. Kindness. Humbleness of mind. This is verse 12 of Colossians 3. Meekness. Long-suffering. We're to forbear one another. That means to bear with one another. We're to forgive one another. That'll keep your home happy. You need to bear with one another, don't you? You need to forgive one another. Absolutely. And then he says, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I'm telling you, that's a wonderful thing to have forgiveness in a home and in a family and in a church. And in our lives, and on the job, and wherever you are. You know, it fits our life, wherever you are.
Yeah, you're right.
And he says, and above all these things, put on charity, that is love. In other words, we don't do it because it's a rule to keep. We do it because we love the Lord, and we love the Lord because He's loved us. And we want to make a joyful noise, not only with our mouth, but with our hands, and with our feet, and with our actions, and with our behaviors. And if this world had more of that, it would be a far better place to live. In other words, ye are the light of the world. And he says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, through the which ye are called in one body. And get this. Listen, and be ye thankful. That's what we're to be. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. We teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. I've been all over the place this morning, but thankful to have had anything. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that is to acknowledge ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Not because we made ourselves that, but because He chose us and He called us and He adopted us. He predestinated us. He foreknew us. He will glorify us. And we're to enter into His gates with thanksgiving. And into His courts with praise, we're to be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Why? For the Lord is good. Can we all say that? The Lord is good? He is. And His mercy is everlasting. Is His mercy everlasting? Yeah, absolutely. Shouldn't we say that over and over? The Lord's good and His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations.
That's right.
This truth that we're talking about today is going to be true tomorrow and as long as this world stands. And when we get to glory, it'll still be that same truth, and we'll sing the song of praise to the Lord of heaven. Worthy is He who has done all these things for us. It is finished. It is finished. May the Lord bless us to sing it down here loud and strong, and then live it in your life. Wear it in your life. Wear it in your family. You'll do that every time you're kind to one another and forgive one another and help one another along the way. And by the way, you can't identify, nor can I, who is and who is not a little child of grace.
That's right. That's right.
I've seen God's little children looking awful pitiful and poor.
Right.
And look like anything but a child of grace. And I've seen some of those who put on so much clothing on the outside that you could not see the inside until it showed up along the way.
Yeah.
You know who can see all the way to the bone? To the marrow and the bone, that's the word that lives. That's the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's with Him we have to do. So may the Lord bless you. May He bless me. To love one another and live for Him. And in doing that, we serve the Lord. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you. glad you don't have to write my Bible. That thing would have many points going on.